بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. قال الإمام المجدد محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى: باب ما جاء في اللو، وقول الله تعالى: يقولون لو كان لنا من الأمر شيء ما قتلنا هاهنا، وقوله: الذين قالوا لإخوانهم وقعدوا لو أطاعونا ما قتلوا. في الصحيح عن أبي هريرة أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: احرص على ما ينفعك، واستعن بالله ولا تعجزن، وإن صابك شيء فلا تقل لو أني فعلت لكان كذا وكذا، ولكن قل: قدر الله وما شاء فعل، فإن لو تفتح عمل الشيطان. باب النهي عن سب الريح. عن أبي بن كعب رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: لا تسبوا الريح، فإذا رأيتم ما تكرهون فقولوا: اللهم إنا نسألك من خير هذه الريح وخير ما فيها وخير ما أمرت به، ونعوذ بك من شر هذه الريح وشر ما فيها وشر ما أمرت به. صححه الترمذي.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير، ونشهد أن محمدا عبد الله وخليله ورسوله أرسله رحمة للعالمين، فبلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح للأمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده، وترك أمته على محجة بيضة على طريق واضح، من سار عليه أفضى به إلى جنة النعيم، ومن صد عنه فإنما أضاع نفسه. يقول رحمة الله على شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب في كتابه كتاب التوحيد، الذي هو في الحقيقة من أنفس الكتب التي ألفت فيما يتعلق بالعبادة، يقول: باب ما جاء في اللو ويلو، وقول الله تعالى: يقولون لو كان لنا من الأمر شيء ما قتلنا هاهنا. ويقول جل من قائل: الذين قالوا لإخوانهم وقعدوا لو أطاعونا ما قتلوا. يذكر الله جل وعلا هذه المقولة لهؤلاء وأولئك، ليبين أن هؤلاء جميعا أخطأوا، إذا كتب على أحد أمر من الأمور قضاه الله جل وعلا فيستحيل أن يتخلف ذلك الشيء. فالذين قتلوا من المنافقين قالوا: لو أن لنا من الأمر شيء، لو رجعنا في أمر القتال ومقابلة من جاءوا لمقاتلتنا ما قتلنا في ذلك المكان. الله بين لهم أنهم مخطئون فيما زعموا، وأن من كتب عليه أن يموت بقتل لا بد أن يقتل، ومن كتب عليه أن يموت بأي عارض من عوارض الفناء لا بد أن يفنى. لو خير الإنسان بالشيء الذي يعتقد أنه ينفعه فهو لا يعلم الحقائق، الأمر كله لله. وهؤلاء الذين يقولون لما قعدوا عن إخوانهم وتأخروا عن الجهاد مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، يقولون على الذين قتلوا في الجهاد لو أطاعونا ما قتلوا. فرد الله عليهم جل وعلا بتمام الآية وفي هذا التبويب من شيخ الإسلام في لو يبين للإنسان أن لا يقول على أمر حصل لو أنه فعلت كذا وكذا ما حصل ذلك الأمر أو لأمر تطلبه ولكن فاته، لا يقول لا يصح أن يقول لو سلكت كذا وكذا لا أدركت ما طلبت، لا، إذا وقع الأمر حصل فينبغي للواحد أن يسلم أن هذا أمر قد قضاه الله. ولذلك قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لأبي هريرة المثال الذي أكثرته من ذكره وهو في الصغير، قال له يا أبا هريرة جف القلم بما أنت لاقي. أبو هريرة كما كررت على مسامعكم ومسامع غيركم استأذر النبي أن يحتصي يجب خصيتين حتى لا يطلع نفسه لاجتماع الغريزة الجنس، يخشى على نفسه الشاب ولا مال عنده ويخشى من الشيطان. فلما أكثر على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يريد أن يختصي يجب خصيتيه، قال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أبا هريرة جف القلم بما أنت لاقي، فاختصر أو ترك الاختصار، لم يختصر رضي الله عنه، عرف العلم. الإنسان إذا وقعت الأمور ما يقول لو كنت احتفظت بكذا وكذا ما حصل كذا وكذا، لا، إذا وقع الأمر ينبغي أن يعلم يقينا أن هذا الأمر الذي وقع ما كان يمكن أن يصد. ولهذا لا يصلح الإنسان أن يقول لو أنني احتطت ما ماشيت الذين فيهم ذلك المرض ما أصابني المرض، أو يقول لما يدخل في بلد فيها وباء لو أنني احتطت لنفسي ولم أدخل ما حصل علي هذا الشيء. لا، إذا حصل لك أمر تكره أو فاتك أمر ترغب فلا تقول لو أنني فعلت كذا لا أدركت مرادي، أو لو أنني فعلت كذا لسلمت من ذلك الشيء. لا، سأعرف وتيقن أن الأمر إذا وقع حقيقة بالوجود أنه ما كان يمكن أن لا يقع، وإنما ماذا تفعل؟ إن كان محبوبا فقل إن الحمد لله على ما يسر، وإن كان قد فات عليك تقول رضيت بقضاء الله وقدره. يقول في الحديث عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال احرص على ما ينفعك واستعن بالله، لا تفرط تقول أنا الرزق ليس كتب الله ليس فيأتي ثم تنام في بيتك أو في قارئة الطريق، لا، خذ بالأسباب واعلم أن الأسباب لا تحقق الرغبات هي، وإنما الذي يحققها الذي أوجد هذه الأسباب. واستعن بالله ولا تعجزا، فإن العاجز هو الذي يتقاعس عن الأخذ بالأسباب التي قد توصله إلى الغرض الطيب أو الأسباب التي يقيه له بسببها الوقوع في المكاره فليفعل. ولذلك قال النبي لعبد الله بن عباس واعلم أن ما أصابك لم يكن ليخطئك وما أخطأك لم يكن ليصيبك، الأمر الذي زل عنك ما كان يمكن أن يقع عليك لأن الله إذا قضى أمرا فلا راد لقضاءه. يقول عليه السلام: احرص على ما ينفعك، واستعن بالله ولا تعجزا، وإن أصابك شيء، يعني اجتهدت وبذلت الوسع في تحقيق المطلب أو اتقاء المكروه لتسلم منه، ابذل ما تستطيع لتحصيل المراد ودفع المكروه، لكن إن فاتك المراد فاعلم أن هذا أمر قد قضى به الله، وإن حل المكروه فخذ بما قال الله: الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. هؤلاء يقول الله عنهم: أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم. يقول المصطفى: وإن أصابك شيء فلا تقل لو أني فعلت كذا فعلت يعني كذا لكان كذا وكذا، يعني لو حصل حريق قال: لو أنا اللي ما بقيت في ذلك المكان ما جاء من الحريق شيء، أو سيل، نهر جارف من السيل، قال: لو كنت أنا لما رأيت السحاب لو صعدت لا المرتفع ما جاءني شيء. لا، إذا حصل الأمر الذي لا تريده أو فاتك ما كنت تطلبه فاعلم أن هذا أمر قد قضاه الله، سلم لقضاء الله وقل: قدر الله وما شاء، أي هذا قدر الله، أو قدر الله، أي هذا أمر قدره الله، وما شاء الله جل وعلا هو الذي سيقع. ثم بين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم السبب الذي أمر بأن يحذر الإنسان من قوله لو، قال: فإن لو تفتح أمر الشيطان، يعني توهمك وتغريك لأنك الذي حصل السبب أنت، لأنك ما أخذت بالأسباب، ولو أنك فعلت كذا وكذا لأدركت ما تطلبه من كذا وكذا. لا، إذا فاتك المطلوب فاعلم أن هذا أمر قد قضي من لدن الفعال لما يريد، أو إذا أصابك المكروه كما قال: واعلم أن ما أصابك لم يكن ليخطئك. ذكر هنا مسائل، قال رحمة الله عليه: فيه مسائل، أي في هذا المسائل. المسألة الأولى تفسير الآيتين في سورة آل عمران: يقولون لو كان لنا من أمر شيء ما قتلنا هاهنا، أو الذين قالوا لإخوانهم وقاعدوا لو أطاعونا ما قتلنا. معناها أن الإنسان يتجنب لو هي لا تحقق مطلبا ولا تمنع مرغوبا من الحصول، وإنما يتوسل بها الشيطان لإغراء ابن آدم حتى يتحسر على ما أصابه ويتوجع لما آذاه، أو يتحزن على الشيء الذي فات ويحزن. المسألة الثانية من هذه المسائل النهي الصريح الواضح عن قول لو. إذا حصل لك ما عليك ما تكره لا تقل لو أن لي مثلا لم أبقى في هذا المكان ما وقع علي هذا. لا شك أن الذي أمر بالأخذ بالأسباب الواقية أو الأسباب الجانبة، لكن هذه أو تلك لا تجلب شيئا لم يكتبه الله ولا تدفع أمرا قد قضاه الله جل وعلا. يقول الثالثة من المسائل تعليل المسألة بأن ذلك يفتح عمل الشيطان. الشيطان لما تفوت الإنسان مصلحة يتطلع لها، الشيطان وقد فاتت يأتي إليه يقول: أنت ضيعت أسباب النجاح، وأنت لو فعلت كذا. لا، حتى يستمر في تضجر وتألم وحزن. لا، المؤمن إذا حل به ما يكره علم أن هذا أمر مقضي من الله يسلم ويقول إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون، يعني نحن ملك لله، لا تصرف فينا وفيما بين أيدينا وما خلفنا وما أمامنا بما يريد جل وعلا، وإنما نحن نسلم نعلم أننا لله وأن له أن يفعل ما يشاء فينا، ثم نجزم أن ما أصابنا لن يكون سبب شر، عسى أن تكره شيئا وجه الله فيه خيرا كثيرا. يقول الرابعة الإرشاد إلى الكلام الحسن، لما يفوتك أمر أو تتمنى تحصيلك له، أو يدهمك أمر كنت حريصا على أن تسلم منه ولكن حصل ما لا تريد، ماذا تقول؟ تقول قدر الله هذا الأمر، قدر الله وما شاء فعل. يسلم للفعال لما يريد لأن الأمر أمره، أو قل قدر الله يعني هذا الذي حصل إنما هو قدر الله، أنت في هذا تسلم الأمر الذي له الأمر كله، ثم لا تعدم الأجر، لأن الذي يسلم لله أمره قال الله عنه أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم. المسألة الخامسة الأمر بالحرص على ما ينفع مع الاستعانة بالله، يعني لا تقول والله أنا بستعين بالله ولا أعمل شيئا، لا، خذ بالأسباب واعمل ما تستطيعه للوقاية مما تكره أو لاستجلاب ما تحب أن تحصل عليه، ابذل السبب، ثم إذا تخلف مطلبك عن جلب ما تريد أو عن دفع ما تكره سلم الأمر لله جل وعلا. المسألة السادسة النهي عن ضد ذلك، يعني النهي عن التعاجز والإخلاد إلى الراحة وقول المكتوب سوف يكون بلاش أن أتعب نفسي في التطلع والجد والاجتهاد، لا، الله جل وعلا أوجد الأسباب وقدر ما يشاء من ما يترتب عليها، ولهذا لما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم للصحابة وهم عند دفن قبر ميت قال لهم ما منكم إلا عرف مكانه من جنة أو نار، فقال الصحابة إذن ففيما العمل، يعني لماذا نجد ونجتهد؟ قال لا، اعملوا فكل ميسر لما خلق له. الباب الثاني مما قرئ الليلة، الباب السابع والخمسون حسب ترتيب الكتاب، وهو النهي عن سب الريح، يعني الريح لا تملك شيئا، هي مخلوق يصرفه الله جل وعلا كما يشاء، تارة تكون سبب خير تثير السحاب فيحمل الماء وينقله إلى بلد محتاجة إليه، وتارة تكون عذابا كالريح التي سلطها الله على قوم هود، سلط عليهم الريح العظيم التي قال الله عنها ما تذر من شيء إلا أتت عليه إلا جعلته كالرميم. هذه الريح مخلوقة لا يسبها الإنسان ولا يسب الدهر، إذا حصل أمر لا يحبه لا يقول هذه الريح سقط ذلك الجدار، قال هذه الريح اللي فيها وفيها اقتلعت بعض الأشياء المثمرة وغير المثمرة. الإنسان لا يحب أنها تقتلع، فقال هذه ريح من سيئة قبيحة فيها لا، هي هذه مخلوق مما خلق الله جل وعلا، وإنما على الإنسان أن يستعين بالله جل وعلا على دفع كل ما يكره وعلى استجلاب كل ما يحب مما فيه خير. والله جل وعلا أيضا هو المقدر، قد يتمنى الإنسان أمرا ولكن الله يعلم أن حصول ذلك الإنسان على ذلك الأمر يسبب له بلاء فيصرفه عنه، وربك يخلق ما يشاء ويختار. فعن أبي بن كعب رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: لا تسبوا الريح، فإذا رأيتم ما تكرهون فقولوا: اللهم إنا نسألك من خير هذه الريح وخير ما فيها وخير ما أمرت به. إذن هي مأمورة، الريح صارت تنقل سليمان عليه السلام وجميع الجيش الذي يريد اصطحابه وجميع آلة الجيش، ذكر الله طوع الريح له تقطع في الصباح مسيرة شهر وفي المساء مسيرة شهر، فالأمر لله جل وعلا. ونعوذ بك من شر هذه الريح وشر ما فيها وشر ما أمرت به. فالإنسان يحرص إذا رأى السحاب، النبي كان إذا رأى السحاب مقبلا قام حتى إذا نزل المطر سري عنه. قوم عاد لما رأوا شكل السحاب قالوا: هذا عارض ممطرنا. فقال: بل هو ما استعجلتم به، ريح فيها عذاب أليم تدمر كل شيء بأمر ربها. إذن هي مأمورة. قال فيه مسائل: الأولى النهي عن سب الريح، يعني كالنهي عن سب الدهر. الله يقول: يؤذيني ابن آدم يسب الدهر، وأنا الدهر أنا الذي أخلب الليل والنهار. المسألة الثانية: الإرشاد إلى الكلام النافع. إذا رأى الإنسان ما يكره، رأى كأنها عاصرة رياح مقبلة، لا يفزع إلى ذم الريح ولعنها، لا، وإنما يفزع إلى الذي بيده الأمر كله، يسأل ربه أن يعطيه من خيرها ما في هذه الريح وما خير ما أمرت به، وأن يعيذه من شرها وشر ما أمرت به. وهذا هو الذي أرشد إليه النبي، الإرشاد إلى الكلام النافع إذا رأى الإنسان ما يفعل. بعض المرات ينظر الواحد إلى الجهة التي أكبرت معها الرياح وكأنها سحاب لا يرى ما وراءه، وبطبيعة الحال الإنسان يشعر بالفزع، يخاف أن تعصف هذه الريح تهدم ما يمكن أن تهدمه أو تقتلع ما يشاء الله اقتلاعه، أو قد تحمل الأب بني آدم. ما الذي فعلت بقوم نوح؟ ألقتهم كأنهم أعجاز نخل منقعر، أو فتر الناس فيها صرع كأنهم أعجاز نخل قاوية. الثاني ذا الإرشاد إلى أنها مأمورة، يعني هي لا تدبير عندها من نفسها، وإنما هي خلق من خلق الله يؤمر وينهى. المسألة الرابعة أنها قد تؤمر بخير وقد تؤمر بشر. مما يمكن أن يسمى خيرا الريح تدفع السحاب تسوقه إلى ما أراد الله جل وعلا أن يفرغ فيه ماء، فهي في سعيها وصيف ودفعها هذه السحاب إلى أن تصب تلك السحب ماءها على الأرض المحتاجة، هذا خير. إذا كانت عاصفة أو نقلت سحابا فأمطر على جبال فسبب أنهارا تقتلع الجبل والحجر فتدمر ما في طريقها، صارت وهي لا تأتي بشر بنفسها ولا بخير بنفسها، وإنما بتدبير من له التدبير كله جل وعلا. نسأل الله جل وعلا أن يوفقنا جميعا لمعرفة الحق والحرص على الأخذ به، ومعرفة الباطل والصدق في الحذر من الوقع فيه، كما نسأل جل وعلا أن يمنحنا بمنه وكرمه صفاء التوحيد والعقيدة والتسليم لأمره جل وعلا وصدق الرجوع إليه في كل أمورنا، إنه جل وعلا مجيب الدعاء. صلى الله على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.
The Shaykh of Allah Ta'ala began by praising Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, seeking His help and forgiveness, seeking refuge in Allah from the evils of our own selves and from our own evil deeds, by bearing witness that there is nothing and no one worthy of worship except Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, that all the dominion belongs to Him and all praise belongs to Him, and by bearing witness that Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is His servant and messenger, His intimate friend, who strove in His path to convey His message to humanity, and left his nation upon a clear path, which is like a light, a white day. Whoever follows it will indeed be successful and be in the gardens of bliss. And whoever prevents others from entering it and himself neglects to follow it will indeed have lost and perished himself. We are studying Kitab al-Tawheed, which is one of the most valuable books which has been written in the subject of worship. We have reached chapter 56, which is talking about using the word لو, which we might translate as if. So when something happens, saying if this had not happened. There are two verses from the Quran in the chapter in which Allah mentions this. He says, talking about the hypocrites in the war, they say, had we had any of the affair, we would not have been killed there. Hypocrites who were killed in war said we would not have been killed there. Another group, those who failed to enter the war, those who stayed behind, they said, they are the ones who said to their brothers, and they had stayed behind, if they had obeyed us, they would not have been killed. So this is talking about that using the word if something has already happened, and they say if this had not happened, the result would have been different. Also, it's reported in an authentic narration on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, be adamant about attaining that which is beneficial to you, and seek Allah's help, and do not be lazy, or do not give up. If anything happens to you, do not say, had I done this, if I had done this, then this and this would have happened, but rather say, this is what Allah has decreed, and whatever Allah wills, indeed will happen. For saying لو, saying if, this indeed opens the door for shaitan. Here the Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala said that Allah is describing the group of people that have made a big mistake. In these two verses from Surah Ali Imran, he's describing what the hypocrites have said about what took place in the past, and them claiming that if they had done something different, then the result would have been more pleasing to them. Indeed, if Allah has prescribed something, then it must take place. And it's impossible for it not to take place if Allah has written and described and prescribed something. Those hypocrites who were killed, had they not been killed in war, they would have died anyway. Allah had written and prescribed that they were going to die on that day, so that was their day and there was no way around it. This is talking about the context of those ayahs that were revealed. And those hypocrites, so they said, had we had any say in the matter, we would not have been killed that day. Allah rebukes them, saying that indeed what has been written is going to happen, and there's no use in saying if this would happen, then the result would have been different. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written the death for a person, whether that death is a result of a war and fighting, or a sickness, or any other reason, then that is the person's day to die, and there is no changing it. Likewise, any good which is going to happen to a person, if Allah has written this to happen, then it will definitely happen. No one knows the reality of exactly just what will happen, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, a person should not say, if this would have happened, it would have been different. The people, the ones mentioned here in the two verses, they were a group who did not go for jihad. They were cowardly and stayed behind because they were hypocrites. And they told some of their fellow hypocrites, don't go to the war, stay with us, stay behind. Then that second group that went out to war, they were killed. So the ones who stayed behind, they said, had they obeyed us, if they had obeyed us, they would not have been killed. Allah is saying that regardless of what they do, the day of their death was written and there was no way around it. The way that Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab wrote this chapter concerning that which is mentioned about the word law or if, he is telling us and showing us a lesson that this word and the way we think about it and the way and how it relates to the past helps us understand our relationship with our Lord and know His divine decree. A person should not say that had I done such and such, I would have got what I was looking for. Or had I not done such and such, then that dislike thing to me, I would not have befallen me. Indeed, whatever Allah writes and describes, prescribes for a person is going to happen to them. The Shaykh said, as in the example, the narration of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, which we have mentioned much. Abu Hurairah was a young man. And like every young man, he had desires for women. And he didn't have money to get married. So he feared for himself that he would fall into an act of sin. So he would consistently go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and seek permission to castrate himself for fear of falling into sin with women. He would consistently go and ask permission to castrate himself. So the Prophet ﷺ responded to him, no matter what you do, the pen has already dried, and what is going to befall you is going to befall you. So regardless of whether you take this action or not, whether you fall into this sin or not, depends on what Allah has written for you, not what actions you take to prevent it. So he said to him that the pen has dried, and the pen has dried, and whatever you are going to find, it's going to befall you. Whenever something happens to a person, the person should not say, had this happened, if this happened, it would have been different. It's not befitting for a believer to say this. It's not befitting for a believer to say, had I been more careful, then I would not have get sick. I would not have gotten sick. If a person entered into a city where there was an epidemic and they got sick, it's not befitting for the person to say, if I would have not have gone to that place, I wouldn't have gotten sick. It's Allah's decree that what happened in the past is already gone, is already written, and there's no changing it, and there's no need to pout over what has happened in the past. The believer should simply accept Allah's decree and what has happened. Whatever has happened in the past and is beloved to a human being, they should praise Allah and thank Allah for this. And whatever has happened in the past and is already said and done, which is not beloved to the human being, then what the believer should do is be pleased and be complacent with Allah's decree and accept that this is what Allah has written for them. The hadith mentioned here in the chapter, the Prophet ﷺ says, be adamant about attaining that which benefits you, and seek Allah's help, and do not give up. It's not befitting for a person to sit at home expecting for their wealth and their money to come to them at home. You have to go out and work for your money. Likewise, any results that you want, you have to go through the motions to attain those things which you are looking for. The person who gives up, who simply sits at home saying, my money is going to come to me, and the likes, is not being realistic. The Prophet ﷺ said to Ibn Abbas, whatever befalls you was never going to miss you, and whatever misses you was never going to befall you. The pens have dried, and the pens have been lifted, and the pages have dried. So when in the hadith, when the Prophet ﷺ said, if anything happens to you, then do not say, had I done this, this and this would have happened. When he said, if anything happens to you, this means after having gone through the motions to get what you wanted, or to stay away from what you feared would happen to you. This is not meaning after being lazy and not having worked hard for what you want. This means after having worked hard for what you want, then look at the result. If the result is good, you praise Allah. If the result is not what you were looking for, you simply submit to Allah and accept that it was from His decree what happened to you. And if it's something that happened to you which is not beloved to you, then what you should say in this case is, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Verily we belong to Allah, and verily to Him do we return. If there was a fire in a place and a person was harmed by it, he should not say, had I not stayed in that place, the fire would have not reached me. If a flood comes to some place and a person is negatively affected by it, he should not say, had I gone up to a high place and I was not in the low valley, that flood would have never affected me. It's not befitting. If something that a believer does not like happens to him, what he should say is, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ. This is Allah's decree, and whatever He wishes, He does. Doing anything else, saying if, saying low, dwelling on the past, this simply opens a door for shaitan to make the believer sad about what has happened in the past. And doing this, saying these words, regretting what has happened in the past, which cannot be changed, this is not going to change the results at all. This is something which is it's already said and done, and complaining about it is not going to change it. This is the gist of what was mentioned in the chapter. Then there were the points which the author, rahimahullah, extracted from the chapter. The first one is discussing the explanation of the two ayahs mentioned from Surah Ali Imran. The Shaykh Hafidhullah said that a person should abstain from saying the word law. The person should abstain from talking about if this had happened. The believer should refrain from remorsing what had happened, and saying, if this had happened, then it would have been different. Because these words do not bring about any benefit. And they are only something that brings remorse into the heart of the believer, and which Shaytan uses to make one displeased with Allah's decree, and to make one sad, and to waste their time. The second point mentioned by the author, rahimahullah, is the explicit prohibition of saying low or if when something happens which one does not like. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to go through the motions. When we want to get something, we have to work hard towards it. Likewise, when we want to avoid something, we have to go through the motions to stay away from that thing. After having worked hard for these things, if you don't get the result that you're looking for, know that this result is something that Allah has decreed for you. The third conclusion mentioned by the author, rahimahullah, is that this is something which Shaytan uses to open a door. Whenever something that a believer does not like happens to him, Shaytan will come and whisper to him saying that this is because you didn't do this and that. The believer, when something that he does not like happens to him, should simply submit to the decree of Allah and say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, that we belong to Allah and to Allah shall we return. This is believing that we are the property of Allah. He is our owner and He can use us in whatever way He wishes, and He can make happen to us whatever He wishes. And if something that we do not like happens to us, we should know that as Allah tells us, there might be something which you dislike and Allah puts in it much good. The fourth point mentioned by the author, rahimahullah, is that he is guiding us here to use the best of speech. The best of speech in this situation is not to dwell on the past and say, if this had happened, it would have been different. The best of speech when a person comes across a situation that he does not like and is not beloved to him is to submit the affair to Allah, saying, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ, that this is what Allah has decreed, and whatever He wishes, He does. And this is what the previous response to disliked results, which we mentioned, is actually a verse from the Quran. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That Allah says that the believers, when something they dislike happens to them, this is their response. They say, verily to Allah we belong, and verily to Allah we shall return. Then at the end of the next ayah, Allah says that the angels will pray for those people and seek mercy for those people. Excuse me, not the angels, but that mercy, that salawat, that prayers and mercy from their Lord will be upon those people. So Allah says that the people who respond with this saying, using the best of speech, when something they do not like happens, when they respond with this, then the prayers and the mercy of their Lord will be upon them. The fifth conclusion mentioned by the author is that one should work hard and be adamant about attaining that which benefits him and seek Allah's help in doing that. This means that one has to go through the motions and work hard and do the things which lead to attaining that which they're trying to get, and staying away from that which they do not like. And once everything is said and done and the affair is over, what the believer should do is submit the affair to Allah and accept His divine decree. The sixth and final point mentioned by the author, rahimahullah, is the prohibition of doing the opposite of that, which is giving up and failing to put any effort into anything. When one is simply lazy and refuses to put efforts into what they want, they do not work hard, they are disobeying Allah, because it is He who has prescribed upon us to go through the motions and do those things which bring us to the results we are looking for. Once, when one of the companions was being buried, the Prophet ﷺ said, there is no one of you except that when he is buried, he will be shown his place, either in the paradise or in the hellfire. Some of the companions responded saying, then why should we do any work? If our place is already written for us, why should we do any work? The Prophet ﷺ responded saying that everyone will find easy that which they were created for. So those deeds which one should work hard for, Allah will make them easy for those who He is meant to attain good for. This is the gist of what was mentioned in chapter 56, which brings us to chapter 57, which is entitled, The Prohibition of Cursing the Wind, or Speaking Ill of the Wind. This is based on a hadith narrated by Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet ﷺ said, do not speak ill of the wind, do not curse the wind. If any of you sees something which he delights, which he dislikes, then he should say, or then you all should say, O Allah, we ask you for the best of this wind, for the best of what is in it, and for the best of what it has been commanded. We seek refuge in you from the evil of this wind, from the evil that is in it, and from the evil which it has been sent with. The Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala said that wind is one of the creations of Allah. It does not possess power and cannot change anything by itself. Rather, it is Allah that decrees that the wind should come and either bring good to the people or bring ill and evil and destruction to the people. Sometimes Allah causes the wind to bring clouds, and these clouds bring the rain which people need in order to water their crops and eat. When the land is dry, people are in need of rain. The wind comes by Allah's permission with the clouds and the rain, and this is a cause of good for them. At other times, wind can be a source of punishment. Allah has sent wind to punish certain nations because of their sins. The people of Hud, Allah described them as saying that when the wind came to them, it did not leave anything except that it left it just as dust. So the wind came and destroyed everything. Here in this chapter, the hadith shows us we should not speak ill of or curse the wind. In a previous chapter, we learned that we should not speak ill of or curse time, because these are both creations of Allah. Sometimes the wind might cause a wall to fall down, or might cause some trees to be uprooted. And this is disliked to the people. What they should realize is that the wind did not cause these results in and of itself, but that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this wind and ordered it to do these things. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who decrees these things, and these are all part of His creation and allows them to happen. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who creates everything, and it is He who makes choices. As Allah tells us in the Quran, that your Lord creates what He wishes and He chooses. So the wind is one of the creations of Allah, and it is ordered. It receives orders, and the wind was part of the troops of Sulaiman alayhi salam. But Allah tells us that Sulaiman, as well as his whole army, the wind would carry them. So in traveling, in one morning, the wind would carry them as far as it would usually take 1 month to travel. And in the evening, likewise, the wind would carry them, and the whole army, all of the troops and all of their weapons, it would carry them in one morning and likewise in one afternoon, the distance that it would usually take 1 whole month to travel. So the wind receives orders, and it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gives it these orders. When a person sees clouds coming, or sees wind coming, they should ask for the good of it and seek refuge from the evil of it, as the Prophet ﷺ did when he would see wind coming. It is people who fail to do this. When the people of Aad were destroyed, when they saw wind and they saw clouds coming, they got happy and they thought rain was coming, but in fact those clouds and that wind that was coming was exactly what destroyed them. This is the gist of what is mentioned in the chapter, which brings us to the conclusions that the author, rahimahullah, drew about the chapter. The first is that it is prohibited to speak ill of the wind, and just like it is prohibited to speak ill of or to curse time. The second is that we are guided to use the best of speech and the most beneficial of speech whenever we see something which we dislike. When one sees wind approaching, one should not speak ill or curse that wind, but they should keep in mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one sending this wind, that this wind is a creation of Allah, that this wind receives orders from Allah, and one should ask Allah for the good that is in that wind and seek refuge from the evil that is in it. Sometimes people see wind and they begin to fear that it is going to destroy some of their property, or uproot their trees, make some of their property fall down, and the likes. And indeed, at times, wind does this by Allah's permission. Allah described the people of Aad, once the wind was sent to them to destroy them, that they were described as trees that had been uprooted. So trees that had been uprooted and fallen down. Allah described those people as laying on the ground, having been destroyed, the likes of trees that had been uprooted. The third conclusion drawn by the author is that indeed the wind receives orders, and those orders are from Allah. And the fourth and final conclusion is that wind could be ordered to do something good, just as it could be ordered to do something bad. It is the wind that pushes the clouds and brings water to the dry lands so that crops can be watered, people can eat the plants, the fruits and the vegetables and the likes. So this is a cause of good that wind brings about. At other times, wind is a source of punishment for the people. It could be that rain falls in such quantities that the rivers can flow and flood, cause floods, and destroy entire villages. And this is by the permission of Allah. This is what was mentioned in the chapter. Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala concluded by asking Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to give us all success, to grant us all beneficial knowledge, to show us the truth and make us adamant about following it and accepting it, and to show us the falsehood and make us adamant about staying far away from it. He then ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to grant us sincerity in our tawheed, sincerity in our beliefs, and sincerity in decreeing, sincerity in accepting all of his affairs and everything which he has written upon us. لو بينت لنا قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم لو استقبلت من أمري ما استدبرت.
يعني كلمة لو تستعمل في الأمور الحسنة، ولكن أكثر ما تكون في الأمور التي يخشى أن يستعين بها الشيطان. من الأمور الخيرة قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في حجة الوداع، هو ساق الهدي معه من المدينة، والحاج إذا ساق الهدي لا يتحلل إلا بعد نحر الهدي. لما أمرهم أن يغيروا نيتهم في الحج ويجعلوها عمرة وتمنعوا، قال لو استقبلت من أمري ما استدبرت، يعني لو علمت الغيب وأن صحابته لن يريحهم أن يتحللوا من إحرامهم العمرة، يقول لو استقبلت من أمري ما استدبرت ما سقت الهدي. يتمنى أنه كان علم ما سيحدث حتى يتجنب أسباب حدوث ذلك الشيء، فلو في مثل هذا الموقع هو المكان المناسب لها.
And the question is concerning a hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام in which he said, had I known what I know now, I would have not done what I did, which is part of a hadith which he said on Hajj and how it relates to the chapter. Basically, the gist of what happened was during Hajj, the Prophet ﷺ he brought his sheep with him all the way from Medina to Mecca to slaughter it as one of the rites of Hajj. He was performing, there are different types of Hajj, and the type he was performing, since he brought his sheep with him. Once he could not leave the state of Ihram until he slaughtered that sheep. He ordered some of his companions that once they got there, they did not bring their sheep all the way with them. So he ordered them, once they made their Umrah, they could leave their state of Ihram and begin it again once the time of Hajj started. Once they found that, they wanted to do just as the Prophet ﷺ was doing. He saw that they were a little bit uncomfortable with doing a type of Hajj which was different than the way that he was doing. So he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that had I known, meaning that had I known this was going to make my companions uncomfortable, I would have done it a different way, meaning I would have not brought my sheep all the way from Medina in order to do that. Shaykh Hafidhullah Sa'ana says that sometimes using the word low, if, can be in negative circumstances, meaning that that which happened to me, kind of complaining about what has happened in the past. And other times, it can be, one could be wishing that they did a better deed. One could be wishing, meaning that they passed up an opportunity to do some good deed, and they're wishing that they would have taken the opportunity to do that good deed. If one says that in this case, then there's nothing wrong with it. As the Prophet ﷺ said, he was looking for an opportunity to do that which was better. سائلة تقول أحسن الله إليكم هل يجوز السجود على الطرحة وعلى النقاب؟ السجود على النقاب.
نعم يجوز. سأل كان لا يريد أن يسجد على مثلا غبار يؤذيه، أو لا تريد المرأة أن تخلع خمارها ما قد يكون عندها من الرجال اللي ينظرون إليها، جاز لها أن تسجد ولو كان هذا على وجهها. هي مأمورة عند أداء الصلاة أن تكشف وجهها إلا إذا كان عندها رجال أجانب ينظرون إليها. إذا كانت محتاجة لهذا الأمر فلا حرج عليها إذا سجدت على، وإن كان الخمار يحول بينها وبين التراب.
The question is it permissible to make sujood? For example, if a woman is wearing niqab, can she make sujood wearing that niqab, even though it's going to be between her and the place on the floor which she is making sujood on? The Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala says, yes, it's permissible. For example, if there is she's praying in a place that is dirty, she doesn't want to get her face dirty. Or she's wearing niqab and there are men around and she doesn't want those men to see her face because they're not her relatives, then she can keep the niqab on and it's okay for her to pray wearing that. And normally a woman should uncover her face when she's praying, but if there are men around who are not her relatives, it's okay for her to keep her face covered and to make sujood upon it. سائرة تقول أحسن الله إليكم ما أفضل مكان في الرياض لتعلم الدين للنساء؟ النساء في الرياض هنا أحسن مكان لتعلم علوم الدين.
مدارس تحفظ القرآن، هنا تدرس القرآن وتدرس معه أحكام العبادة.
Question is, what is the best place for a sister to learn the religion here in Riyadh? And the Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala says that the schools for memorization of the Qur'an, that they teach there both the sciences of the Qur'an as well as the guidelines of worship. يقول أحسن الله إليكم ما هي وسائل الحصول على الصبر؟ يعني كيف يتصبر الإنسان؟
يعين الإنسان على الأخذ بالصبر علمه بأن ما يحدث في هذا الكون إنما هو بتدبير الله، إذا علم أن الذي حصل بقضاء الله وقدره وهو ملك لله سبحانه وتعالى يصبر ويحتسب، ويقول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: ما أعطي ابن آدم عطاء خيرا من الصبر. ورتب الله على الصبر أيضا أجرا عظيما، فقال: إنما يوفى الصابرون أجرهم بغير حساب. إذا عرض له أمر يكرهه أو فات عليه ما كان يتطلع إليه فليستعن بالله ويسأله أن يمنحه الصبر والثبات على الاحتساب. والموفق وفقه الله.
The question is, what are the ways of attaining sabr or patience? Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala says that the way to attain patience is by knowing that everything that happens is by Allah's plan, that Allah allows everything to happen. When a person knows this, when a person knows that he belongs to Allah and that everything that happens is by Allah's permission, this will help him be patient. The Prophet ﷺ said that the sons of Adam have been given nothing better than patience. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that it is only the patient that receive their reward without any measure, without limit. So whenever something bad happens to a person, or something good, the person does not attain it as they wanted to, what the person should do in order to be patient in this situation is ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant him or her patience, and it is only with Allah's success that a person is able to do this. شخص حج وكان جاهلا بوجوب طواف الإفاضة، فطاف وجمع بين طواف الوداع وطواف الإفاضة، فهل يصح هذا الحج؟
إذا كان أدى الطواف بعد رجوعه من عرفات لكنه أخره إلى وقت السفر فإنه يكفيه عن الوداع وعن الإفاضة. ما دام حصل الطواف بعد الرجوع من عرفات فهو طواف الإفاضة.
The question is, if one combined between tawaf al-ifadah and tawaf al-wada'ah but did not have the intention of tawaf al-ifadah, is the person's hajj correct, knowing that the person was ignorant of the obligation of tawaf al-ifadah? The Shaykh Hafidhullah says that if a person performs the tawaf after returning from Arafat and just before traveling, then it is sufficient for both tawaf al-ifadah and tawaf al-wada'ah. The important thing is, if this tawaf was done after returning from Arafat, then it's sufficient and the hajj is correct. السلام عليكم. امرأة في الغرب سحرت زوجها ليحبها، وسحرت بعض الناس من الجيران، وعثر على الطراسم والأشياء المكتوبة في البيت وتحقق أنها من السحر، فما موقف هذا الزوج وبقية الجارية في هذا المجتمع؟ هل يحذرون منها وهل يخبرون الأشخاص الذين وجد أسماءهم مكتوبة؟
إذا أحبوا أن يظالموا بما لهم، إذا أريد أن تعاقب وثبت حصول السحر منها، فالنبي ذكر جاء في الحديث الصحيح حد الساحر ضربة بالسيف، لكن هذا ما يتولاه من يدعي أنه قد سحر، وإنما تتولاه السلطة. إذا كانت السلطة تقيم الحقوق الحدود الشرعية والجزاء، ثم الإنسان لا يخبر عن أمر من الأمور إلا إذا كان يعلم حقيقة ما أخبر به. يمكن أن يقول هذا الشخص مات من سحر فلان أو فلانة، وقد لا يكون الأمر كذلك، فلا بد أن يتحرى الإنسان قبل أن يخبر حتى يعرف اليقين، ثم يجوز الإخبار به، أو قد يجب ليتقى شر الساحر.
The question is: a man finds his wife trying to put magic on him and make him love her forever. Also, she is trying to put magic on others from the community. Should the community warn against her? Also, should the community inform the people who she was trying to put the spell on? The Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala said that, of course, magic is one of the great sins of Islam. If the people who have been victims of this magician want to request for their rights to be given back to them, then as the Prophet ﷺ informed us, that the punishment for the magician is that they be struck with a sword. However, we should know that in this environment, the one you're asking about, which is in the West, which is not an Islamic land, which does not have an Islamic government, the individuals are not allowed to carry out Islamic punishments. It is only Islamic governments which carry out Islamic punishments. So the people who are victims of this magician, of this lady, are not allowed to carry out this punishment on her. Also, when it comes to informing of others, it must be known for certain that the person has committed this sin before others can be informed. It cannot be mere speculation. We know that a person can die because a spell has been cast on them, because magic has been placed on them. However, unless someone is absolutely certain that an individual died because so-and-so cast a spell on them, they should not say to anyone that the reason why this person died is because such-and-such casted a spell on them. If in this situation the people have verified and they're absolutely positive that this is the woman who has done this and she has done magic, it could be permissible, and in fact it could be an obligation on the community to inform others that she is doing this magic so that they will be protected from her evil. أحسن الله إليكم. شخص دائما يتأخر عن المواعيد أو يحتج بالقدر، هل يجوز؟
لا يجوز للإنسان أن يحتج بالقدر فيما يتصرف به هو، وأن يكره حديث آية المنافق وإذا وعد أحلف، فلا يصح أن يقول والله هذا قضاء وقدر ويكرر هذا الاختلاف ويدعي القدر، لا، بل هذا من العيوب التي إذا فات الإنسان أمرا عاتب القدر، قال هذا قضاء وقدر لا حيلة فيه، لا عليه أن يأخذ بالأسباب ويستعين بالله على دفع الشر أو جلب الخير، أو يستعين بالله أيضا على تحقيق الوفاء بالوعد.
The question is, what is the ruling of using Qadr as an excuse for always being late and not planning one's time well? The Sheikh said that this is not permissible for one to use Qadr as an excuse for one's own actions. And whoever reads the explanation of the hadith of the signs of the hypocrite will know this. One of the signs of the hypocrite is when they make a promise, they break that promise. So when one is constantly breaking their promises, they're not allowed to use Qadr as an excuse for it, as this is something very blameworthy, and it's only when someone has not been able to attain what they were trying to attain that they should use Qadr. أحسن الله إليكم، هل يجوز سب المطر؟ سب المطر، يسب المطر،
لا يجوز ذلك. يعني قد يأتي مطر يكون غزير، أو قد لا يكون غزير، يأتي مطر متوسط لكن يتلف على صاحب العنب عنبه، أو ينسكب على ثمرة النخل التي أينعت فيسب المطر لأنه أضر به. الأمر كله لله جل وعلا، إذا كانت الريح لا يحل سبها فكيف يسب المطر الذي فيه خير كثير وحياة عظيمة؟
The question is, we've discussed how it's prohibited to curse or speak ill of the wind. Does the same apply to the rain? The Sheikh says yes, the same applies to the rain. It is not allowed to curse the rain or speak ill of the rain, even if a person is harmed in some way by it. Sometimes heavy rain falls and it could destroy, for example, a grape farmer, it could destroy his crops, or a date farmer, the strong rain could destroy his crops. But it's not allowed to curse the rain or speak ill of it. Most of the times that rain is a cause of much good. يقول أحسن الله إليكم، ما هي الطريقة الصحيحة للتسبيح بعد الصلاة؟ هل يقول المرء سبحان الله 33 مرة ثم الحمد لله 33 مرة ثم الله أكبر 33، أو هل يقول سبحان الله والحمد لله والله أكبر وكذا؟
كل ذلك جائز. الذي ذكر في المجموعات سبحان الله والحمد لله والله أكبر هذه جملة، قال من قالها 33 مرة تلك 99 كلمة كان له كذا كذا، أو إذا قالها 33 مرة ثم زاد تكبيرة واحدة حتى تكون التكبيرات 34 وفيه عظيم الأجر، أو إذا قالها 33 مرة أتبعها بلا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له تكملة 100. وفي كل هذه الآثار على حديث أشير إلى عظيم الثواب إذا حافظ على هذا الذكر بعد كل فريضة غفرت ذنوبه ولو كانت مثل زبد البحر. أسباب كثيرة يسرها الله للعباد يتخلون بسببها من أثقال الذنوب، لكن الشيطان دؤوب وجريء وصبور، يكرر على ابن آدم ما يصرفه عن أسباب الخير ويدفعه لما يتورط معه بالوقوع في أسباب الشر. فينبغي الإنسان أن يكثر من سؤال الله أن يعينه، ويكثر من لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله التي قال عنها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إنها كنز من كنوز الجنة.
Question is, what is the correct way to make tasbih after prayer? Should one say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar 33 times, or should one say Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, and so on and so forth? The Shaykh of Allah says that both of these are permissible, and there are hadith saying that both of these are correct. If one is to say Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, Allahu Akbar 33 times, and then say Allahu Akbar a 34th time, so the total would be 100, that would be permissible. If one were to say him each 33 and at the end say La ilaha illallah, that would make 100, that would be permissible. And all of these have a great reward in them. And whoever has done these, as the hadith said, that their sins would be forgiven even if they were as much as the foam that is on the sea. However, Shaytan is very brave and very adamant and very patient in making the servant hate that which is good for him and do those things which bring about which is good for him in this life and the hereafter. And so a person should try to be patient and be adamant about doing these small acts of worship which have a very big reward in them. And one should also say frequently La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, which, as the Prophet ﷺ informed us, is one of the treasures of paradise. يقول أحسن الله إليكم كيف نعرف أن الريح نعمة أو نقمة؟
أولا تعرف بالآثار، ثم هي أيضا حتى لو كانت الآثار موجعة قد تكون سبب أجر، ولذلك لا يجعل الواحد أسباب الخير ما يحب وما لا يحب ويقول هذا سبب شر. نص القرآن عسى أن تكرهوا شيئا وهو خير لكم، أو تحبوا شيئا ويكون شرا. فابن آدم لا يعلم ما وراء الغيب، وإنما يسأل ربه أن يجعل فيما ساءه تحقيق مصلحة له في أمر الدين والدنيا.
The question is, when do we know that wind is a blessing or a punishment? And the Shaykh Abdullah says, by the outcomes, the aftermath of that wind, what happens afterwards. If the consequences of that wind are painful, then one can know that it was a punishment. However, one should not say that everything that they do not like is a punishment and everything that they do like is a blessing. Because as Allah informs us in the Quran, it could be that you hate, you dislike something and that it is better for you, or that you like something and that it is bad for you. يقول أحسن إليكم: بعض الناس في بلادنا يشتكون عن كثرة البرد والمطر، هل هذا من المنهي عنه؟
كيف يسمون؟
يشتكون عن كثرة البرد والمطر.
هم يشتكون على الله جل وعلا، فلا حرج. ولذلك لما كثر المطر استغاث الناس في عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فما كان منه إلا أن قال: اللهم حوالينا ولا علينا، اللهم على الضراب والآكام وبطون الأودية. ليس في ذلك حرج، لكن لا يكون الواحد متعديا فيما يطلب أو ما يرجو زواله.
Question is: some people in the UK always complain about the cold and rain. Does this fall under this prohibition in the chapter? The Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala says that if a person is complaining to Allah, then there is no problem with this. Saying that complaining to Allah, asking Allah to remove what they find a hardship on them, then there's no problem with this. As happened during the lifetime of the Prophet ﷺ, there was a period where there was no rain, so the Prophet ﷺ prayed, and then a lot of rain came, so much that it destroyed the people's crops and their wealth. So the people complained, and complaining to Allah, asking Allah to remove that which was harmful for them. And so again, the Prophet ﷺ prayed, and it was removed. So as long as they're complaining to Allah, there's no prohibition in this. يقول أحسن إليكم: الصبي الصغير ذي عمره سنة وسنتين إذا مر بين يدي المصلي، هل يقطع صلاته ويقطع سترته؟
لا، هو لا يقطعها. هو شيء هو غير مكلف، وإنما الذي يصلي يحسن أن يبذل أسباب السلامة، يجعل بينه وبين القبلة ما يتوجه إليه، حيث يستطيع أن يمنع الذي يريد أن يمر. وبالنسبة للأطفال الصغار هؤلاء الأمر، لأنه غير مكلف وغير مكلفين، فالأمور تسهل معه، كما تفعل صغيرة الدواب عندما تمرق بين يدي المصلي كصيغة الأولاد الغنم وامثال ذلك. الصلاة صحيحة، لكن الإنسان يحتاط.
Question is: does a child, 1 or 2 year old, break your sutra in salah if he crawls in front of you? The Sheikh says that this child doesn't have his faculties, he's not responsible for performing acts of worship and rites. And so he doesn't break your salah because he doesn't know. He's not old enough to know. However, when a person is praying, they should pray in a place where they are kind of safe from this, if possible, and do the best that they can to pray in a place where they're not going to be distracted from their prayer. But again, these young children, they're not responsible, and so they don't affect one's prayer. يقول نحسن إليكم: إذا حس الشخص أنه مصاب بالعين، كيف يعالج نفسه؟
بقراءة القرآن والالتجاء إلى الله جل وعلا. ثم ينبغي للإنسان لا يكون يصدق الأوهام، قد لا يكون أصيب بعين، قد يكون هذا عارض صحي، يبذل ما يستطيع من الأسباب، ويصطحب أيضا الاحتساب والصبر، لعله أن يكون من 70,000 الذين يدخلون الجنة بغير حساب ولا عدد.
question is, if a person feels that he is affected with the evil eye, the ayn, what all remedies can he do? Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala says that he should read the Qur'an, and that he should turn to and seek refuge with Allah, and also he should not pay attention to what are just suspicions. It could be that a person feels some symptoms, but it's not that he has the evil eye, it just could be some sickness that he has. So a person should not believe everything, every symptom that he might have. Also, a person should, whenever they are sick or they have any symptoms like this, they should be patient, hoping that Allah makes them one of these 70,000 people that would enter into Jannah for not asking for ruqya to be performed on them. يقول أحسنه إليكم لقد عصيت الله كثيرا فيما مضى وفي بعض الأحيان أستحي من رفع يدي ليستغفر الله ما لا أعمل.
الله جل وعلا يقول وإني لغفار لمن تاب يقول سبحانه قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا يعني للتائبين. فما دمت أنك شعرت بالحرج وندمت على ما سبق لك من سوء وتبت إلى الله جل وعلا فاستمر على التوبة، فما كان من الذنوب تتعلق بحقوق بني آدم فأعطي الحقوق لأهلها، وإذا كانت من الخطايا التي بينك وبين الله فإن التوبة وحدها تكفيها.
Question is, I feel like I've sinned so much, and these sins come back and remind me of what I've done. Sometimes I feel ashamed to raise my hands and ask for forgiveness. What should I do in this situation? The Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala says that Allah says, indeed, I am most forgiving to whoever repents. In another ayah he says, O my servants, those who have wronged themselves by their sins, do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. Indeed, He is the most forgiving, the most merciful. So as long as you feel that you have committed a sin and you feel bad about it, continue to seek Allah's forgiveness. If this sin relates to, it is a sin that you have committed against another human being, then you must return the rights of that human being to them. If it is a sin that is simply between you and Allah, then all you do is seek Allah's forgiveness and Allah will forgive you. يقول نحسن إليكم أحد الزملاء في العمل غير مؤهل لعمله فهل يجوز شخص غير مؤهل للقيام بعمله التي كلف بها في العمل فهل يجوز أن يخبر المدير بأن هذا الشخص ما يصلح للعمل؟
المسؤول عن الذين يعملون عليه أن يخبر عن المقصر أو من لا يحسن العمل، لكن قبل الإخبار يتفاهم مع الشخص الذي لا يظهر عليه أنه يحسن، يخبره بأن عليه أن يتحسن هو، وإلا سوف يخبر الجهة المسؤولة عنه، لأن هذه الأعمال أمانة، ومن يتولى الإشراف عليها عليه أن يحرص على القيام بحق الأمانة.
The final question is, a colleague at work is underperforming. He is not fit for his job and he hides from his duties. Is it permissible to criticize a colleague's performance at work to his boss? Is this considered backfire?
لا يعتبر من الغيبة.
لا ليس هذا من الغيبة. هذا عمل يخلف به الشخص المسؤول عن هؤلاء العاملين وهو مطلوب منه أن يؤدي الأمانة. إذا لم يفعل يكون قد خان الأمانة.
Sheikh Fasakallah Ta'ala is that whoever is in charge of following up people's performance at work, it is his responsibility to inform if a person is not performing their duties at work. However, before going and informing the boss, the other employee should go to that employee who is not doing his duties and tell him that either he should straighten up or he is going to tell the boss. And we should know that jobs are a responsibility and they are a trust that we have been entrusted with, that we should do them well, and whoever is not doing them well is indeed betraying the trust which he has been given, and betraying the trust indeed is a sin. And it is not a form of backbiting in this case to inform the boss.
أولا الحمد لله على ما يسر ونسأله جل وعلا أن يكون عملنا خالصا لوجه الله جل وعلا موافقا سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم جالبا لنا بفضل الله جل وعلا الخير ومندفع به الشر كما نسأله سبحانه وتعالى أن يعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأن يذل الكفر والكافرين والمنافقين وأن يفرج كروبات المكروبين من المسلمين ويكشف الغمة عنهم ويعاجل أهل الشام وشرق آسيا وأي بقعة من بلاد الإسلام ابتليت بظلم وعدوان وجور وقهر أن يعاجلها بالفرج وأن يوفقهم جل وعلا أن يحسنوا صلتهم بربهم وأن يتوبوا إليه وأن يصدقوا في الرجوع إليه وأن يستعينوا به على أمور دينهم ودنياهم كما سألوا جل وعلا أن يحفظ على هذه البلاد المملكة أمنها على دينها ودنياها وأن يجيرها من شر أنفس أهلها ومن شر أعدائها وأن يجعلها مستمرة في صيانة العقيدة آخذة بأسباب مرضاة الله جل وعلا من تحكيم الشريعة وحماية الأخلاق وصدق الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر وأن يرينا عاجل غير آجل انكشاف الكرب التي حلت ببلاد الشام وفي بقية البلدان التي لا تزال على بقية من بقايا ما يسمى بالربيع العربي وهو ليس بربيع وإنما هو قحط وشر وبلاء كما نسأله جل وعلا أن لا يسلط أعداء الإسلام على المسلمين وأن يوفق المسلمين لحل مشاكلهم فيما بينهم على ضوء كتاب الله وسنة رسوله إنه جل وعلا مجيب الدعاء وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.
The Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala concludes by praising Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala for that which He has made facilitated for us by asking Him to make all of our deeds sincere for His pleasure and in accordance with the Sunnah of His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and to make all of our deeds a source for bringing us that which is good and for repelling from us that which is evil. We ask Him to make the religion of Islam and the followers thereof mighty and to disgrace the disbelievers and to bring about the to bring an end to the suffering of the Muslims who are in in Syria, in Southeast Asia, and every place where the believers are being tortured and wronged. We also ask those Muslims and ask Allah to help those Muslims in those places of the world improve their connection with their Lord, to seek His help in what brings them good in this life and in the next. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia in both what is good for them in this life and in the afterlife, and to help the Muslims here to protect the kingdom from the enemies from within and from outside, to protect the beliefs of the people here, to bless the country to continue practicing and guarding and ruling by the Sharia, and to protect the people's character and morals, as well as ordering that which, commanding that which is good, prohibiting that which is evil. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us a quick removal of the suffering of the Muslims, especially those in Syria, as well as those who are in the aftermath of the countries who have called themselves going through some type of Arab Spring, which is in reality an Arab drought and an Arab punishment. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not let the enemies of Islam take over our lands, and we ask Him to bless us to solve our problems from within.